right, welcome back to it on this Thursday. The rain continues across most of the country. It's been a soggy summer, to say the least. We'll get to that in a bit. Peter Marici is an economist and business professor at the University of Maryland and a national columnist. He says the tariffs that the president's putting out there tarnish the brand of America. Peter, welcome to the program. Peter, how are you?
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. So you think that these tariffs tarnish America's brand, and yet the economy seems to be doing very well. How are we tarnishing America's brand out there, and what's the real impact on the consumers? Let's talk about these things.
Well, you know, near term, the tariffs have a negative effect on consumers. They do raise prices, though it hasn't been a lot, and I wouldn't worry terribly much about it. I'm more concerned about our trade war with China, which I think is fine. You know, I think we ought to go after China and make them change if we can. And if not, just stop trading with them, you know, make the tariffs high enough that we don't do it with them. But we have to consider that with China, we need allies. We really can't leverage them by themselves. And as a consequence, you know, this business of threatening everybody under the sun with tariffs makes Trump look reckless. It makes him look like he doesn't follow the rules and so forth. Our whole argument with regard to China is it's a rule breaker. So it doesn't warrant the same treatment as everybody else. Threatening the Europeans with tariffs or the Mexicans with tariffs really greatly reduces our stature with our allies and our ability to get their help.
Let me ask you this, though. With the Mexican government, we being the president, threatened a 5% tariff. And within a few days, it looks like the Mexicans acquiesced. They've put 6,000 to 7,000 troops on the southern border with Guatemala. They've made deals to be a safe third country. They've made deals with the United States to address the problem. And we do have a problem at the southern border. I don't think that's up for debate at this point, based on the numbers we're seeing coming across. And it worked. So didn't the president use the leverage of tariffs to get a deal done to slow down the influx of illegal aliens into the United States?
Are you just trying to draw me out, or do you really not see my point?
I'm just trying to find out what you think about that. I mean, he used the leverage of the 5% tariff, did he not? Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong. You're just recounting facts. And those facts are in evidence, and they're quite plain. He got results. There's no two ways about it. I'm talking about the longer-term consequences for our relationships with other nations. Let's, for example, consider Britain. I think it's a good thing that Britain is busting out of the EU. And that's fine. And they want a free trade agreement with us. Well, what does a free trade agreement with us mean if on a foreign policy issue unrelated to trade? We can hit them with a tariff that our president will just throw on a tariff and call it a foreign policy or a security thing. I don't know that that makes sense. I just don't.
I can see where you would have concerns with that, certainly.
One of the things that's going on here is if you support the president's policies generally, you have to be with him straight down the line. Or talk show host, you know, I've gotten emails from his supporters and so on for that article. You know, all of a sudden, Peter, what'd you do? Get up on the wrong side of the bed? Don't you know whose side you're on and all this? It's perfectly reasonable to disagree with the president on this, even if you support his trade policy towards China. And you support the notion of dealing with immigration, and you support his general objectives. But, you know, becoming president of the United States did not anoint on him all the wisdom of Solomon. And we've seen that he can be erratic. We've seen that he can be quite emotional. And we've seen that he makes mistakes.
I would agree with you on those points. I don't have any questions with those.
Do you think it's a red-hot idea to slap tariffs on, for example, European cars?
What I think is that when it comes to Mexico and that tariff specifically, that results were needed, and we had to get their attention, and it worked. Now, has it been used as part and parcel to foreign policy? Not to this point. Would it be a dangerous implement to use out of the tool chest too often? Yes, I would see your point on that. But when it comes to Mexico, something had to be done because the numbers are going to exceed 1 million people arrested in this country this year.
I mean, that's one example.
And yes, we need to address China.
We have a nut down there for president.
I understand that. So in this case, it worked.
If you go back to my article, I was speaking not just about Mexico, but broadly. I think he could have made a case for the tariffs on Mexico, that he articulated his argument with regard to Mexico very badly or poorly.
Well, that's not unusual either. This president has a difficulty. He gets in his own way, I think it's fair to say sometimes. I think you would agree with that, Peter. He gets in his own way of his own talking points, and he steps on himself. No, he did not articulate it particularly well, but the end result worked. But now when you go back to China and your article, you refer to them as a predator. And yes, there have to be some things, some lines drawn. I would agree with your article and your points of view there. Where do we go from here then? If you don't want to see tariffs as a tarnish on America's brand, what would we do with Mexico? How would we get them to change their attitude about allowing not just Central Americans and South Americans and Mexicans to flow north of the border, but we see Africans and Asians and all of this stuff going on there? What would you suggest, I suppose, is the question.
I don't know. That is not my problem.
Fair enough.
I'm not in the administration. He did not make a good case. What I would have suggested is that Pence, who's frankly more articulate and intelligent, lay out the case with regard to Mexico the way he did in a very significant speech about a year ago with regard to China, that the new president down there has opened the border, that he is basically encouraging the flow of immigrants. He's created a highway. He ignores the coyotes and so forth. And as a consequence, we have to take strong action. But he didn't do it that way. He just did the usual tweeter president routine, made him look bad with the Europeans. You know, there was an interesting article right now about our situation with Iran. Our allies, including the Japanese, who've had their own boats bombed, so to speak, or attacked, are suggesting that they don't believe the president that when he says that Iran is behind these attacks. He doesn't have credibility with them.
But now, the president didn't say that. The U.S. military said that.
I think they know Iran is behind these attacks. They simply don't want to do business with this guy. And in some ways, you know, I have some sympathy for their attitudes because he is just, so erratic that you really wonder what kind of path he's taking you into. And also there's the history of George Bush with Iraq.
Well, certainly there's a question there. But Prime Minister Abe seems to have a good relationship with the president. Maybe I missed that. And it wasn't the president that said it was Iran that attacked those tankers. It was the United States military and the intelligence community.
I understand that. But the point is that he brings the information to them, and they don't know to what extent it's been sanitized. I mean, remember the stove piping with Bush?
Sure.
We've lost a lot of credibility. And I don't think that his behavior has helped. It certainly hasn't been his fault alone. The last two presidents have not been all that great at foreign policy.
But I think maybe you hit the right word, exacerbates. Maybe these actions exacerbate. Now, on Mexico, I'm going to sit there and I'm thinking he's okay. Got to leave it there for today. Great conversation. Great having you here, Peter. Really appreciate it.
Take care.
There you have it. Peter Ricci, economist, business professor, University of Maryland. A great contribution today on the program. 41 after. You can't agree with everybody all the time. That's fair. I can live with that. It's the Steve Gerber Show.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Gain practical experience with emerging technology and equipment not found in the civilian world. The Army National Guard can get you started in an array of STEM-related career fields such as information technology, communication systems, special forces engineers, technical engineering, air traffic control, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear science. Get a head start on your career in an exciting new field while earning money to pay for college, all while serving in your own community. Log on to NationalGuard.com or talk to a recruiter in your area to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities available to you in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy.
Oh my God.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo, Justin, look at us, we're over here.
Justin, OMG, he just looked, I love you, Justin, I love you.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.